B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This week is going to get really ugly. I still think at the end of the day, after all the consternation, after all of the fighting that's about to happen, that both parties recognize that being out on the field is better than the alternative. But to get there, there are a lot of things that they have to do to figure out first to try and get there. Chief among them, the financial aspect, and of course you can't look past the health and safety aspect either. And those are two absolute whoppers to have to deal with before the players actually get to go to spring training 2.0 in the middle of June.
Tony Clark tells The Athletic, a system that restricts player pay based on revenues is a salary cap. The league's trying to take advantage of a global health crisis to get what they failed to achieve in the past. So, hey, there's a solid one to start on.
Here's the thing. Let's not let it be sadness. Let's let this be reality. This week's going to suck. Like, it just is. But at the beginning of any negotiation, when you've got two Rams that are willing to butt heads like that, that's what this is. You get it out of the way now, you get the positions that are too extreme off the table, and then you make a deal. Let's try and ride this one out as smoothly as possible, knowing that in order for a deal to happen eventually, you have to have this at the beginning because it's going to provide the foundation ultimately for them to meet in the middle.
I don't know if I agree with that last part. What, you all have to start off being a bunch of a-holes before you can do anything? But Jeff Passan's been covering baseball for a long time. He knows that players union, baby. And he called it, this week is going to suck, which is going to lead into one of our opening takes. It is Agenda-Free Friday here on Felger and Maz. Welcome to the program presented by DraftKings. Agenda-Free Fridays, though, are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give opening takes while Jimmy disinfects and wipes down the hounds. As soon as he is ready to go, he will release them. And you can call us at 617-779-0985. But first, as I mentioned, opening takes. I'm coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Maz and Murray on remote. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Hi, Big Jim.
Hello.
Who wants to go first?
Murray, go.
All right. So I'm still kind of holding out some hope that there can be some good in this from this hell pandemic, and that maybe, just maybe, it'll kill off baseball once and for all, especially after what we heard from that tone-deaf idiot Blake Snell. I got to get mine. Like, I'm hoping that, like, just kill it. Go away. But that's not going to happen. So when it does come back, there's something I want. No, I demand. I want to see in Major League Baseball when it returns. It's caught my eye in the Korean Baseball League. I've seen a fair amount of people tweeting about this very thing over the last couple of weeks since it started. And it's umpire demotions. It's actual umpire demotions. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but they demote their umps after basically one bad call. You make a bad call, demoted. You keep trying to make it about you, like Joe West, that big whale, demoted. You cost a team a win, Angel Hernandez, cast down with the sisters at Shawshank, demoted. It's everything that I want. The public shaming of these glorified mall cops who all think it's about them, actual demotions. And the way that they do it in the KBO, they don't play. Like I said, they started this thing May 6th, I think, May 5th. It's 2 weeks in. Tweet this morning from Daniel Kim, covers the Korean Baseball Organization, read as follows. Umpire demotion alert. Hyun Kyu Oh, who made the wrong call on Joo Hwan Choi's foul tip, wrong call on a foul tip, demoted to the minors. We're only 2 weeks into the season. Six umpires have been demoted to the minors in the KBO. Six in 2 weeks. Six umpires, 2 weeks. It's the best and most exciting sports news I've read since Brady went to Tampa. I'm not even kidding. I love this. Can you even imagine what it would look like here if they did it the right way with all these rotund, incompetent idiots who, again, always try to make it about them? It'd be double the amount and less time. I need it. And if I have to be subjected to this boring, interminable sport again, give me the umpire demotions.
Murray, I'm sorry. I jumped away for 1 second. How many games are they into their season?
Mike, 2 weeks, they've demoted six umpires.
That's amazing.
I love it.
That's tremendous. And they just pull the other ones out from the minor league or whatever. We don't need too many details. They just get rid of the lousy ones. They relegate them. There's umpire relegation.
There's actual repercussions. There's the way that it should be. Instead, like, they're just too powerful here, much like the players' union. And you've seen, like, it's our whole lives, especially the way it's been the last 10 to 20 years, how these umps carry themselves. They feel like they have all the power because in a lot of ways they do.
Okay, good opening take. Maz, what do you got?
I have to admit, I do like that, Murray. Okay, this relates to the negotiation between the owners and the players in Major League Baseball. We spent a lot of time beating up Blake Snell this week, very much deserved, as well as the Players Association in general. So last night, in the interest of fairness, and I asked Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to play the audio here for me, given that I'm out in my domicile. So last night, Rob Manfred was on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and he was asked what a shutdown of Major League Baseball would mean this year for the owners. And I'm again, I edited out the question. You'll have to take my word for it. He asked Manfred a general question about what a shutdown would mean for Major League Baseball in 2020. And here is what Manfred answered.
The economic effects are devastating, frankly, for the clubs. We're a big business, but we're a seasonal business. And unfortunately, this crisis began at kind of the low point for us in terms of revenue. We hadn't quite started our season yet. And if we don't play a season, the losses for the owners could approach $4 billion.
Okay, $4 billion is what Rob Manfred said the owners would lose if there's no season this year. I find it interesting that he would actually put a number on it. Don't you, Mike? Don't you think it's interesting that Major League Baseball, which you'd have to freaking pull their teeth out with them without Novocaine for them to tell you anything about what they make, any owners in any sport, now all of a sudden, in the midst of a labor discussion, it comes out that they could lose $4 billion if the games aren't played. Did you find that curious?
Go ahead.
So I look at it this way, okay? If I'm going to kick the crap out of the players for feeding me some sort of sob story when it comes to this thing, oh, wah, for the owners. Wah, boo-hoo-hoo. You're going to lose $4 billion. Fine. Okay, I get it. You already cut a deal with the players, though, if the season wouldn't be played at all. Nothing has changed with regard to that deal. So the point being, if the players are going to sit here and whine about what they're willing to give up or not give up, and I'm going to rip them for it, I don't want to hear the owners telling me that they're going to lose $4 billion. Can somebody please, on either side, take the high road in this thing? Can someone please take the high road? And when someone like Anderson Cooper asks you what the ramifications are, you say, well, look, they're significant. Of course they're significant. I mean, you know, we're in the business of entertaining, playing ball, and making money. That's what we do. But this is a plight for a lot of people right now. It's not just a baseball issue. It's all over the place. Why do you got to give me the $4 billion number? What's this, a little return serve to what the players were saying this week? Is that what it is? Again, it's hard to root for either side. I personally might believe that the players are an obstacle in this thing, but I don't think Rob Manfred does himself any favors either when he comes out and puts a number on it like $4 billion.
Well, it's not as bad as, you know, what the players are doing. I don't have a problem with the number, him putting it out there, if he backs it up. In other words, the one thing I will support the players in, and the reports have come out today, is that they've asked for financials from the owners, which I think the players are absolutely in their right to do. And this I will support the players on. If the owners want a partnership, revenue share, then you're allowed to see how the sausage is made. We want this slice of the pie. You get that slice of the pie. We have to know what's in the pie. Show us the pie. And so you say $4 million? I'm sorry, $4 billion? Fine. Show me how you arrive at that number. That's totally reasonable on the part of the players. And if Manfred's going to throw out $4 billion and that's actually the number, Maz, then I don't have a problem with it. He's just telling you the fact of the matter, and that's what they stand to lose, and that's why they need to bring the players to the table to negotiate. So it's $4 billion. Here's exactly how we arrive at it. Here's what our operating expenses are. Here's, you know, when we fly our kids private back to Choate, after spring break, is that a personal expense or is that a business expense? Are we using, you know, so show them the books, show them how you spend your money, show how you net, how you're going to lose your $4 billion. And if it's really $4 billion, I have no problem with Manfred saying $4 billion. And the players are fully in their rights to ask to show them the books. And that's sort of how I arrive at that. I can see you smirking already. That's going to be my opening take, by the way. Do you want to follow up?
No, I would just say to you, do you think the owners are going to do it?
Hell no, they're not going to do it.
Of course not. And so all I'm saying is, and I don't disagree with the idea, let's lay it all out there, let's everybody inspect the numbers, and then we'll come to our own judgments. It'll never in a million years happen. And so, again, I just find it convenient that all of a sudden the commissioner goes on CNN, and tells the world we're going to lose $4 billion, because that's a big number. So they're looking for a little bit of sympathy. We want you to understand it from our side. I already understand it from your side. If you're going to give me the number, though, I'm fine with all the details, but I don't trust them either. Okay, because again, I think the players are obstructionists, but I don't trust the owners either.
Okay, and I wouldn't if I'm the players. I think the owners are fully within their rights to ask for a revenue share just for this half year. I think that their offer on the face of it is fair, 50-50 split of what everybody gets the rest of the way. I have no problem with that, but I think it's also entirely fair then, if that's the deal, that they have to open up their books and show the players where all the money's coming from and what exactly they're splitting, and that's just equitable. So I think Trevor Bauer, who is a first-class tool bag, who's another one of these MLBPA tool bags, but he's right when he says the owners have their ways of hiding their revenue. It's 1,000% true. So everyone, come to the table in good faith. This is how the sausage is made. This is how we're going to split it up. No problem with the players asking for that. So that was a big part of the week with the Blake Snell comments, obviously, from yesterday. So that's still fresh in our minds. But we got a lot to get to. We did a lot this week. We spent a lot of time earlier in the week on the rift between Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels and how that impacted here, the split between Brady and the Patriots. We will get back to that. Chris Gasper's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We've got the NBA inching back onto the floor. Do we have hockey inching back onto the ice? Hard to tell on that. I got some thoughts on the return of basketball coming up here in just a few minutes. Yesterday we had a conversation about fake crowd noise, fake superimposed virtual fans on Fox broadcasts coming up on the NFL this fall. Your thoughts on that? You want fake fans and fake crowd noise? How about Patriots popularity, and will they take a hit, or how big of a hit will they take if, now that Tom Brady is gone, and if they fall off the table a little bit on the field? Will you renounce your fandom, and how many of you will do that, and what does that say about Patriots fandom? That's on the table. What else? We got a bunch of stuff. It's Agenda Free Friday, so everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you. Again, couple open lines at 617-779-0985. We'll get right to your phones, I promised, after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The asterisk. There's an asterisk if there's not a traditional playoff format. There just is. Like, if you do best of three first round, best of five second, and best of seven in the finals, that's not a real playoffs. It's just not. And Mark Cuban saying nobody puts an asterisk on the 99-2000 season, that's disingenuous, because that season had a traditional playoff. It didn't start on time, but it had a traditional playoff. So the key for preventing the kind of asterisk debate is making sure that you have seven-game series beginning with the first round, and that is something that Adam Silver brought up on that call with the players. So clearly he's got the integrity of the postseason in mind.
So that was Chris Mannix on with us earlier in the week. It's just something I meant to get to. Disagree with that. The first two rounds should be best of three, best of five. Those rounds only go four, five games anyway. Why do you need to see a seven, a sweep of 8-1? Why can't you get that done in two or three games versus the four or five that it usually takes? What's the difference? I just disagree with that totally. You want to say conference final and final? That's fine. Seven games. I get it. But no, there's no asterisk there. And the whole asterisk thing sort of bugs me. Everyone's going to be playing by the same rules. It's still going to be the best players in the world, and it'll be a different kind of tournament, but you win the thing, you win the thing. I think there's some teams, if they pull through, a push through would get a little asterisky, if you know what I mean. But I just reject the whole asterisk thing. I'm not watching, and I'm not going to invest in the thing if it ain't a real tournament, if it ain't best on best, you know, level playing field. If it's best on best level playing field, Maz, there's no asterisk to me. I'm fully invested.
So I generally agree with that, too. And again, I think in the NBA, you know, there's a little bit of a more of a chance to look at it and raise an eyebrow just because, you know, the sport typically goes pretty much according to the seeds. So hockey, to me, I have no issue at all. Like, I look at hockey and say, hockey is freaking anarchy to begin with in the playoffs. So to me, it's going to be hard to convince me that there's going to be an asterisk on the cup winner no matter what. In basketball, it would require someone coming out of the woodwork and something very different to happen as a result of the pandemic. Brooklyn qualifies.
Yeah.
If Kevin Durant comes back and is able to play when he hasn't played all year, and they had basically written off the season with him, to me that qualifies, but it would have to be something like that.
Meanwhile, can we get these leagues to start inching back onto the field, for crying out loud? You know, I started getting frustrated about a week or two ago, so it's not like I've started to get frustrated. I'm past that point, especially since the UFC now has had two events, guys rolling around in an octagon, rubbing blood on each other, for crying out loud, even after one of them tests positive. And they're out there every third day rolling around, you know, secreting all of their bodily fluids on each other, rubbing blood all over each other. And meanwhile, the Celtics still can't get in the gym to shoot baskets with one guy and one rebounder and one rim. I mean, that's getting annoying. And that's not getting annoying. It's annoying. It's 2 weeks past the point of annoying on that. To your calls, though, as promised, it's agenda free after all. Tom and Beverly. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. How's the phone?
Good. It's good, Tom. Go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, look at demographically, I am grandpa. I'm 62. I can stay up all night and watch TV. I don't fall asleep. 9 years old and 67, impossible dream team, senior in high school, 75, died in 86. And I tortured myself last year watching 50 innings of Red Sox. Not even 6-4 games. It's unwatchable. Major League Baseball is unwatchable. And now that these guys are acting like this, you know, well, what are we going to do if we go to Arizona? Is it going to be stuff for our fan? I'm going to have to relocate. And you see what the people in the military, and now this guy's saying, I got to get mine. I am watching zero innings this year.
So they're losing even Tom and Beverly, Maz.
It's a bad time for baseball to be kicking up that side of itself. And so, and again, there's a guy who's a hardcore. Now, look, with all due respect, I don't believe him. I think if the game comes back and plays, he'll watch it. He may not watch it as much as he used to, but he'll watch it. The sport has big problems, and they keep denying it, which to me is the most fascinating part of the whole thing. It's literally sticking their head in the ground, you know, burying their head in the sand and not acknowledging the problems that are there, that it's affecting them. And, you know, and now they're making asses out of themselves in the process.
It's just amazing to me that between the players and the owners, just in a matter of not even a week, just like 3 days, they're playing hot potato with who can actually look good. Like, they've had opportunities to look good here and to get their sport on track and to tell people, yes, we're working our way back in light of the pandemic. There'll be no fans and all of that. And it's like, no, you don't want it. I don't want it. Nope, you take it. No, I don't want it. No, they just keep looking like complete a-holes.
I mean, it really is stunning in that regard, because all it would take is for the commissioner or one of the players, and again, you know, you've seen some players have come out and spoken in defense of Blake Snell. Nolan Arenado, who's one of the, you know, stars in the game, maybe not like the mega stars, but one of the best players in the game. Yeah, you know, if you really listen to what Blake said, oh, please don't give me that. What we need is for someone to stand up and say, hey, look, the whole world's going through a lot right now. Nobody wants to hear about our specific problems, because overall we got it pretty good. And one way or another, we got to figure this thing out and bridge the gap, because, you know, I think everybody wants us on the field, including us. What is so hard about that?
Here's Paul in Maine on virtual crowds. Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Regarding the fake fans and piped in crowd noise, one of the most appealing aspects of following sports is knowing that the drama is real and unscripted. I, for one, don't really need this fake orgasm. I mean, normally I'll take one, don't get me wrong. But if you're telling me ahead of time that it's fake, well, that's not going to make anybody feel very good. I agree with you, Mike. It seems like an insult, really. I mean, it's not like I tuned into a game anyway thinking that the fans were the reason I was watching.
Oh, for crying out loud, are we gamers? Are we watching a cartoon? Are we watching, you know, an actual event? It's an actual event presented as an actual event. Oh, I can't stand the thought of it. Have you reconsidered, Maz, at all? You still want to see the fake crowd noise and the virtual fans and all of this?
Yeah, because I want to see what it looks like. I have a curiosity factor with how they're going to pull it off. That's what I have. But look, at the end of the day, you know, if it sucks, of course I don't want it in there. I mean, but I'm interested in seeing how they can try to do it without it looking completely awful. Like that, I have to admit, that part of it intrigues me.
Larry,
I still want it. I'm even more cemented than ever. Last night, because I'm bored and just want to watch anything, especially sports, I found myself watching the Eagles-Packers divisional game from the 03 season. And as I'm watching this thing, and Favre and McNabb continually puke down their pants.
Was that Freddie Mitchell on 4th and 18?
It's a 4th and 26 game,
yeah. 26, yeah.
They were both those quarterbacks. It's like, especially McNabb. I'm like, oh, you forget how terrible he really was. But anyway, like watching that thing, again, a divisional playoff round, I'm thinking, no, yeah, I'd still watch the game, obviously. I'll be intrigued, but yeah, pipe in the crowd noise, even if you have to, because the crowd noise is eminent through the whole thing. Like, you need it. Like, even if it's fake, I need to have the audible sound of the crowd there, quote unquote, even though they're not really there. It adds to the whole broadcast.
Yeah, I need to have a accurate depiction of what I'm watching, not a dressed up, tricked up, you know, fiction. That's what I need, and it's not going to be as good, right? So, but I mean, I'll accept it. I just what's ever happening is what I want presented. You know, I want my sports to be nonfiction, as I keep saying. That I want the game to be nonfiction. Your video games and all that is fiction. Felger and Maz is somewhere in between. Felger and Maz is Felger and Maz is based on a true story, okay? But I want the actual games to be an actual depiction, a nonfiction. Dave and Weymouth, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, with regards to the Patriots fans, I think it's stupid that someone would not root for the Patriots over, you know, a couple bad games or one bad season. But I will admit this. The one thing that bugs me as a Patriots fan is if you look at, like, what the Celtics do, you either have someone like Bird grow old and retire as a Celtic, or you trade Paul Pierce when he's got a couple years left and you start rebuilding. The Patriots have this sort of middle ground where Brady's not going to retire as a Patriot, but you're not getting anything from him. You're not admitting to rebuilding. And you're basically asking us to go watch a 7-9 team with no more Tom Brady. So that, I understand why fans are upset about that.
Okay, well, what if they're 10-6?
Well, I think then you get those, you know, 3% of fans that stay on as fans.
Do you? I mean, I don't know. Because most of the Patriots fans around here think anyone that goes 10-6 and loses in the second round sucks. You're 10-6, you lose in the second round, he sucks. Yep, he's 10-6. He's gone to the playoffs 3 straight years but lost in the divisional round. They blow. So that's how you've treated everybody else. If that's you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, are you going to be consistent about that or not? I'm curious. And let's not, you know, blast them for being 7-9 till they're 7-9, right, Miss?
Well, yeah, look, again, we can argue about what they're going to be, but let's wait it out and see how they go. But I do think one way or another, reality is about to dawn on the fans in Foxborough. There's no question about that.
You're about to come back to earth and realize just what's a good season and what really constitutes sucking and what doesn't. You're about to find that out. Here comes Murray's update. We're back with more on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shaq said scrap the NBA season. You agree, Charles?
Well, I said that a month ago. Right. I think I'm glad Big Fella agrees with me. Listen, it's too dangerous. It's not safe. I don't know how they can make it safe. You know, everybody's talking about putting them in a bubble in Vegas and in Florida, but you can't put the hotel workers in a bubble. You can't keep people who work room service in a bubble and people who work in the hotel. And I'm not sure players want to stay in a hotel for 2 straight months because you can't leave the hotel to go out and get something to eat. You got to worry about the virus. So I said that about three, I said, I think it was 3 weeks ago, they should cancel the season.
Oh, Charles Barkley. Looks like the league's going the other direction. Momentum is for them to come back, although it does feel like they've sort of scrapped those bubble ideas. More like a controlled campus, a little bit of an honor system. Keep an eye on yourself. You know, make sure your teammates are doing the right thing. Make sure everyone's doing the right thing. We're going to test you not daily, but certainly more than weekly. And we're just going to leave it up to you. You don't want to be in a bubble or a contained environment, that's fine. Then you have to be responsible. You got to take care of yourselves, and we'll see how that works. I don't know how that works for the service employees, Maz. I mean, the players might be able to pull it off. They've got a lot of money on the line, okay? So, and, you know, they all have a lot of money on the line. Some of them have, like, reputations and legacies on the line. LeBron, Giannis, you know, those guys are playing for championships. So they've got a lot on the line. I think those guys are going to, you know, stay to the straight and narrow and do the right thing. And I think they'll probably cajole their teammates to do the same. So I'm not worried about those teams. I'm not worried about the Lakers, the Bucks, you know, the Clippers, the teams that have something to play for. I don't worry about them at all. And I don't worry about, frankly, most of the players. Most, because they got money on the line. So y'all got to do the right thing. You know, watch out for each other, etc. But then what about the hundreds, thousands of hotel workers, cleaners, you know, who aren't really, they're sacrificing a lot for not a lot of money and no legacy. And, you know, they're just working stiffs. And they're, you know, what, are they going to be stuck in there for 2 months? Are you going to put them on the same honor system? And so, like, I mean, just again, all these permutations. I still think they're going to plow ahead with it. They should plow ahead with it. But, you know, there's still a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the issues. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Matt.
With all the issues about reopening, this is what concerns me the most, is the human element. So, again, you can put in all the rules you want, and I'm not just talking about the sports, Mike. I'm talking about society. So, look, at the guys in the sports bubbles, however you want to term it, those guys do have more at stake, but there will always be some idiot that ventures out and does something they don't because the stakes aren't quite the same. And people's ability to adhere to the rules worries me more than anything.
And I just continue to be amazed by guys like Barkley, Shaq, Kevin Paul DuPont, who, if you're not getting a paycheck from the league, you're getting a paycheck because of the league that you cover.
Right.
That are keep saying, like, shut it down. Like, I don't get it. Like, well, I really don't.
Do you
maybe that makes me heartless and cold, but what is it? Are you doing it because, like, I'm the good one? I'm one of the good ones here? Like,
no.
Why do you keep saying that?
My guess is they don't want to work. I mean, that's part of it, that they've sort of, they've either lost their passion for their gaming. DuPont's been at it for a long, long time. Jinky cares about another Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, he's been doing that for 35. Maybe he wants the spring off. And maybe Barkley and Shaq don't want to go back into the studio in Atlanta and do 2 months of TV on a, you know, contrived tournament. Maybe they just don't want to work the thing. You ever think of that?
Yeah, no, I think that's pathetic.
Me too. Me too.
You guys
got good jobs.
I never ignore the impact of money. I also think some people are scared. So, you know, in the case of DuPont, I don't know how old he is, but he's not 30. And so, you know, I don't know if he has any underlying health issues or not. I just think some people are scared. And Shaq, if I was his size or Barkley's, I wouldn't want to get the thing.
Okay. Back to your phones. Larry and Lynn. Go ahead, Larry. What do you got?
Larry.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
All right. I don't normally ever call sports radio because I haven't got the patience to hang on. But I am so disgusted, especially with baseball, on the whole sports scene. For this pitcher, a pitcher no less, who works every fifth day, and if he's real good, he'll throw 6 or 7 innings, to come out and say, I'm not going to do it, I want mine.
That's gross.
Well, you know something?
Isn't it?
As far as I'm concerned, and I'm not a young guy, and I love sports, but I am so disgusted. They can shut them all down and let them stand in the food lines that are going on across the country. And Mike, I don't agree with you as far as having the owners having to open up their books. The owners are the boss.
Yeah.
The owners are the ones who pay their employees. if the employee doesn't like what he's saying, he has an option.
Yeah, he can quit, I understand. But if they're asking for a revenue share, and, you know, fair is fair, Larry. So, like, I'm not as, you know, draconian as you are. Fair is fair. If the owners are asking for a revenue share, which I don't think is unreasonable, and I don't have a problem with Rob Manfred saying we could lose up to $4 billion if that's the real number and he's willing to show it. If you're willing to show it, then that's...
Yeah, but he's not willing to show it.
Well, I mean, well, let's see about that. I mean, again, the players have requested documents. If the owners give up those financials, then maybe they are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, Maz. Typically, they don't share everything for a reason.
When have they ever shown it?
They haven't.
Like, they won't. They won't.
Well, so, okay. But if he says $4 billion and it's $4 billion and he shows that to the players, then I don't have a problem with him saying it's the $4 billion. So I'm not going to get him in trouble for something he hasn't done yet.
Yeah, I question his motives. I question why he's telling us the $4 billion. That's what I question. So if the four billion is the four, Mike, we know that it's billions. We know that it's billions. But again, these guys are the owners of the team. They're going to lose too. So I sort of look at him and say, well, this is the reality of the world we're in, pal. I mean, if you're going to, the more you have, the more you're going to lose. That's everybody now. So I don't want to hear about Blake Snell bitching about the fact that he's going to lose money. I don't want to hear Manfred say it any more than I do Snell.
Phil in South Boston. Hi, Phil.
I couldn't disagree more with Larry and you guys on the players being more at fault than the owners. I just want to put into perspective. So say the 98.5 the Hub or Edicom comes in and says, hey, we've got no ad revenue coming in. You guys all need to take a $5,000 cut. You guys say, okay, you know, it's not that bad. We understand. Then after the fact, they say, you know what? We're losing 70% of our ad revenue. We're not going to show you the books, but you guys got to take a 70% pay cut now. Still going to work every day. Still do the show 2 to 6. Love the show. Just couldn't disagree with you more here. And I'll hang up and listen.
So you're saying, if we were, I answered this yesterday. I mean, it's apples and oranges. I don't make $10 million a year, which Blake Snell does. So, you know, make it fair. Make it a fair comparable. If I were Blake Snell and I were in the middle of a 5-year, $50 million guaranteed contract, okay? And because of this, instead of it being 5 years and $50 million, it would end up being 4.5 years and $43 million. Would I do that? And the answer is yes. Would I have carried on like Blake Snell, and would I have just taken the medicine there if I were, you know, guaranteed $43 million over $4.5 million? I mean, $43 million over 4.5 years of service to play ball? I don't think I'd be doing what Blake Snell did. Sorry, I don't.
Right, at the very least, any bitching, just do behind the scenes to your family and your friends and your wife. Like, that's it.
Yes, you're right. You're all allowed to go home and bitch. You're all allowed to negotiate. And the baseball players are allowed, and I think they are totally within their rights to ask for the owners to show them why they're going to lose so much money. If the owners are going to claim we're losing this much money, show us. That's totally fair. And I'm not blasting them for that. But how tone deaf do you have to be for you to be in the middle of this and the owners to say, to get in this half season, we have to do some things different and consider a revenue share? And your answer is, nope, I need mine. I mean, come on. Please, there is no defense of that, Maz.
So, again, you say tone deaf. I say S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Stupid.
All right, it's Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the table. Jimmy keeps demanding that we have some fun. He keeps saying, would you have some fun already? Which, you know me, even in these times, fun, a little overrated. But I'll take his advice, and coming up next, we will do five
questions. You never have fun. What do you mean a little overrated?
I know, exactly. Like, I don't, it's just not my comfort zone. But this is why we have Stuart to get us off the rails sometimes when we need to go off the rails. Five questions that have nothing to do with sports. Next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for
my
Mike Felger and Tony Maz.
I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
You guys ready to go?
Yes, I'm looking forward to this. If you listen to Gasper and Murray on Saturday mornings, this is a staple segment of that program. We steal it for our purposes every now and then. And so we do it. We see just how pathetically out of the loop mostly I, but Maz and myself are when it comes to the world of pop culture and, well, Murray's world anyway. So what do we got, Murray? Go ahead.
All right. Question number one. Tech billionaire and Tesla CEO Elon Musk and his girlfriend recently had a baby boy. And they gave this boy a ridiculous name, which is actually pronounced X-A-12. If you saw how this is spelled, it would drive you crazy. But that's how this is his name, X-A-12.
I saw it.
So should names like this and, say, others like Meta World Peace, Chad Ochocinco, should they be allowed by law?
Mike?
Yes, they should be allowed by law. You kid, that we would call that a slippery slope, Murray. If you outlaw that name, then what's next? So, no, I would say absolutely not. But this is so much worse than Meta World. At least Meta World Peace is a word.
Exactly.
What is it? So are they just trying to get out in front? Is this the future? We're going to be named after computer programs or what? X-A-E together, A-12. You know what that's supposed to mean?
No, I have no idea. And he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was asking him about it. And he's like, how the hell do you say this? Because it was like, remember when Prince in the 90s went to the symbol, and it was the unpronounceable symbol, and he was just the artist? So it's kind of like that. And he asked him, he's like, what is this nonsense, and how the hell do you say it? And Elon Musk said, actually, it's X-A-12, and then Joe Rogan rightfully laughed in his face.
Oh, look, I think it's a joke. I mean, I'd love to see a law preventing it. At the end of the day, you can name your kids whatever you want. X-A-12. What do you think Gronk would name his kids if he could throw some numbers in there? You got any guesses there, Murray?
Tequila.
God. Forget legal or illegal. Any name that I haven't heard before bugs me. You named your kid that? What? What is that? Not, like, I don't know. I just like Old Testament traditional names. I just do. Call me crazy.
X-A-14, is that what it is?
A-12, X-A-12.
Whatever, same crap.
Yeah, I refuse to acknowledge it. Allowed by law, fine. But he's run our test. I'll never call him Meta World Peace. And this kid is Ralph, for all intents and purposes.
Dennis.
Question number two. If you both lost this cushy job, but the only way to make money and keep your current lifestyle for you and your family meant that you would have to join OnlyFans, would you join OnlyFans?
So I didn't look this up. This is unbelievable. I had never heard of it when you mentioned it last night at the end of the show. And a big story on this popped up on the Drudge Report, like, overnight. Like, I was going to go look it up to figure out what the hell it was.
Please tell me your daughter didn't know what it was.
I didn't even have to ask, because I swear to God, I got home, I started looking on Drudge Report, and there was a big story on it. It's like, boy, that's my computer listening to me. Does Drudge do that? Are there headlines that are specifically targeted at you if you hear something on your phone? Like, is that how that exists, or is that just a pure coincidence? Because that was wild.
Oh, I don't know. I think all of that. I think your computer and your phone is always listening to
you.
Okay, so
you're listening.
And what it is it's like dirty Instagram, right? It's like...
Well, it's a subscription-based website, so it's allowed Instagram models, you know, porno chicks and others to bring in a lot of money with exclusive content, which is usually filthy content. So if you guys lost this job, if you went to OnlyFans, it would be like, you know, Maz opening it up and doing God knows what.
Okay, so the answer, and I couldn't do anything else, would be my only way to support my family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm in.
So my instinct is yes, and frankly, Murray, I feel like I have a great deal to offer.
the problem with me is they'd have to use the Zoom feature. They'd have to, you know, enlarge the screen. But fine, whatever. If I could make the money, I would. I guess I would have to, Murray. Yes, I would. You?
I'm telling you, I'm. This has got my wheels spinning. I'm starting to think of NakedMaz.com.
Yeah, I would. I don't know who'd want to see it, but I'll tell you, like, you read what some of these gals are making on this. It's crazy, crazy money. Like a couple of hundred grand a month.
Okay, so I'm in.
All right, question.
I'd have to ask my wife, but if it's the only thing I do and, like, no one would ever see me again, sure. Either that or I'd cut the lawn at the Little League fields.
Question number three. What is the best thing that you have watched during this hell quarantine?
Oh, Maz, go ahead.
Oh, God. Best thing, huh? I watched a few things. I liked the Waco miniseries. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. I'm trying to think of what else I watched. You know, I caught up on Homeland and some of that crap, but I'm not dialed in. I would say probably that Waco miniseries. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
Even though I have all the time in the world, I can't bring myself to watch shows. I just don't. So what I've been doing is I've been pounding live concert videos, pounding them. And I've just figured out, you'll be happy to know, how to do the YouTube thing on my TV. So I'll just, you know, YouTube Grateful Dead, and then I'll watch, you know, just have it on in the background. Have a, you know, 3-hour Grateful Dead shows or Pearl Jam shows or music documentaries. I've watched a lot of that. I've pounded the crap out of that. That's what I do. Or if it's last night, the best show on television, Murray, the best show on television is Later with Jules Holland on MVT Live. It used to, MTV Live, excuse me. It used to be
Audience, right?
It used to be Platy, I think is what they called it.
Yeah.
So it's a BBC show where he's got 4 or 5 bands in one big studio. They just go around the room and each plays a song. There's some real commercial acts, some not commercial acts, but I just sort of pound live music on the TV. Later with Jules Holland is the best show on television.
That show is good.
Here we have The Strokes. Coming up next, it's Editors.
Exactly.
Mario, you gave me a good one, too. What was that, The Devil Next Door or something like that?
Oh, yeah, The Devil Next Door on Netflix. Yeah, you
that was good, too.
If you like Netflix, Mike, if you have that, there's a lot of good documentary stuff on there.
Yeah, I just don't have much. I just don't have much appetite for it. I'm sorry, I don't.
All right, well, this is music-related. Question number 4. Little Richard passed away last weekend at 87 years old. Little Richard was overrated, properly rated, or underrated?
Underrated. 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 Of all those guys that were the roots of rock and roll, whether you're talking Chuck Berry or Buddy Holly, or I think Little Richard Pennyman, I think was his name, he was the guy. He was the guy. So he is absolutely underrated. He is one of these African-American artists that got ripped off by the white guys that came along and just sort of ripped off their act and did it as white guys, and that was commercially viable, and Elvis and on down the line. And I know I've just put Buddy Holly in the other category because I think he was legit, but I think Little Richard is underrated and one of the true giants of rock and roll, one of the great American rock and roll acts of all time. Top 5 or top 10?
I mean, I'm pro Little Richard. No two ways about it. Like, again, you know, to me, Good Golly, Miss Maud, like all of it. All of it. Authentic, weird, all of it.
Well, and
totally
you would
believe in Little Richard.
So he was a strange cat too, Murray. So both those guys. So was Chuck Berry. But I think Little Richard was like, woof.
Yeah.
Watch out for this guy.
A freak's freak.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah, but it was a real freak. It wasn't a fake freak.
But, like, and I'm happy to hear you say underrated, because I feel like people just don't get it. Like, I don't know, like, he, without him, you don't have these
rock and roll.
And these androgynous rock stars that, you know, were like, what is he? And like David Bowie and Mick Jagger and Prince. Like, without Little Richard, you don't get those guys and frontmen like that.
Okay, so there you go. I'm in.
All right, final question. Have either of you acquired a new skill during the quarantine? If so, what is it?
A new skill
I have
during the quarantine. Huh? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I don't know if it's a skill, but this is how I've started to pass the time. One of my buddies said, let's do 1,000 push-ups today. You know, and he's in Florida. This guy's in, we're all in different parts of the country. First it was 24 hours to do 1,000 push-ups. I said, no, let's do it in a day. And so I have started to, now I do this like on the regular. I do this 2-3 days a week where I do 1,000 push-ups. And unfortunately, Jimmy will see me every now and then in between a commercial break, drop to the ground here.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm up to 850 today. I only got a few sets left to go. I do 25 at a time. 1,000 push-ups in the course of a day. You want to snack less, Maz? You want to snack less?
Yeah.
Instead of reaching for your snack, hit the ground and do a few push-ups or sit-ups. You'll be a little less hungry.
I was going to say, I would like to substitute sit-ups for that.
Yeah, you can. Sit-ups, for me, take longer. I have a harder time getting to 1,000 sit-ups and 1,000 push-ups, so that number is some like 500 or 750. But give yourself all day.
That's no joke.
Give yourself all day. If you give yourself all day, you should be able to, you know, get there at least eventually. And that's a way to snack less there, Matt. So that's what the quarantine has done for me.
I'll tell you what, I could pound sit-ups. I don't think there's any question with sit-ups. I could do that. My new skill, Murray? Good question. I don't know. I mean, I would have to say that, like, I've been doing a lot of home projects. It's not really a new skill, but I've taken on just about anything and everything from putting on storm doors to, like, cooking again and all kinds of stuff. Mostly stuff around the house. Like, I couldn't give you one specific thing, but I would say that and the other thing that I would say that I've been able to do far more effectively than in the past is be organized. So, I have one other thing I should mention.
What is it?
I'm going to be doing another book. I've agreed to do another
book. Oh, there we go, Maz. What are we doing? You want to tease it?
Sure, yeah. I'm going to be... I am writing a book on the 20 years in this history in Boston sports. And it's not going to be just a straight recap. I'll spare you all the details, but I'm going to be on the phone a lot, conducting a lot of interviews, trying to get some of the behind-the-scenes stories and relationships between the teams and stuff like that, and really put into context not just the history of the teams in town, but the history of the city in the last 20 years. It's kind of a big undertaking, but it's a good time to do it.
All right. Good luck with that. Let me know what Bill says.
And so concludes.
Oh, yeah. No. He's already called me two or three times, and I've missed them.
What do you got, Murray? What have you learned?
My bong hits have gotten stronger. Usually just vaping here these last few years, but I've gone back to the old bong.
That's so good. All right, thus concludes five questions that have nothing to do with sports. Fine, Jimmy, there you go. We had some fun-ish. I don't know if it was fun for the audience. Back to your calls. Everything's on the table at 617-779-0985. Quick 90-second update, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.